All right, so we'll say good morning. Today's daf is Yud 10. We are picking up on Tesamah Beis 9b, and we are picking up 2, 4, 6 lines up from the bottom. So remember, again, we're dealing with the interesting case of machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. If I go ahead and I collect payah on behalf of my friend, or I collect payah and I say, this is for my friend, Harizel Laploni, Rabbi Eliezer says it works. The Chachamim say it does not work. The Gemara originally wanted to suggest that Lemaisa, the case is where an Ashir is collecting it on behalf of the Ani. And remember, the reason Rabbi Eliezer says it does work is because you could use 2 Migos. Chachamim say it doesn't work because the Chachamim say at most you could use 1 Migo, not 2 Migos. But in the case, ultimately, again, of where it's an Ani for an Ani, the Gemara seems to say that it would work. So Ula said, Rav Nachman said to Ula, but why not say that even in the case of one Ani acquiring for another Ani, it should also be a Machlokes? How so? Doha Metzia, because it was, if you take, for example, the case of Metzia, the case of the lost object, or that I should say the found object, Hakol Aniim Etzlar, both say everybody is considered to be poor when in relationship to a found object. What does that mean? Because, again, no one has, the found object represents something that no one has possession of. So because of that, everybody is considered to be an ani, legabe, a lost object, and yet we learned, utinan, hayroche vagabi behema, vera samatzia, va'amun lechaver, tunali. Yet we learned, in our Mishnah, we learned yesterday, that if Reuven's riding on an animal, and he tells Shimon, do me a favor, pick up, right, go ahead and give me that lost, that object, if Reuven picks it up and says, listen, I picked it up, and I know you told me to pick it up, but I picked it up on behalf of myself, Shimon ultimately acquires it. If you say that the machlokes Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim is even in the case of an ani acquiring on behalf of an ani, then top of Yom Aleph, then Mastis in money Rabbanani. Then I will say our Mishnah will reflect the view of the Chachamim. Gemara should call them the Rabbanon. Eli Amrit ba'ashir va'ani machlokes. But if you say that the machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim is only in a case of a rich person who is acquiring on behalf of the poor person. And the reason is machlokis in that case is because Rabbi Eliezer says you could say 2 migos, and the Chacham say you could only say 1 migo. So the Gemara says, Divrei HaKol Zachalo. Everyone will agree that Lamaisa, again, the first Ani has acquired on behalf of the second Ani. So the Gemara says, Hamani? Then whose opinion would our Mishnah reflect? Lo Rabbanon, velo Rabbi Eliezer. It would not be the Rabbanon, nor would it be Rabbi Eliezer. So how do you understand that the Mishnah? We'll say Yud Amud Aleph, 4 lines down from the top. Amarle mas nisin da amar tchila. Oh, so we'll say, to which the Gemara answers, the Mishnah's case is where he said tchila. Tchila means, we're supposed to say, just to get our names down. Reuven's on the animal, Shimon's walking on the ground next to the animal. Reuven sees the Metzia, tells Shimon, Shimon, can you please pick up that Metzia for me? So we'll say, what's the case over here? The Gemara suggests that Shimon ends up acquiring it on behalf of his own, and Shimon says to Reuven, tchila, I never picked it up for you. As it turns out, from the moment that I picked it up, tchila, from the beginning, from the first moment that I picked it up for who? I picked it up for myself. I never had you in mind. Look at Rashi. Second, the third line is down from the top in Rashi. Damar tchila. Hi, ani zachisi ba dika amar tchila ka amar lei. So we'll see when Shimon says to Reuven, I'm sorry, I know you told me to pick it up, but I ended up picking it up on behalf of myself. See, he says, come le mi tchila higbasi letzarchai. I picked it up for me. Velo letzarchecha. And I never had you in mind. It could be that under normal circumstances, when you pick something up on behalf of someone, then they would acquire it. The reason in the Mishnah's case, Shimon, the guy who's on foot, is able to acquire it, even though what? Reuven, the guy in the animal, told him to pick it up, is because Shimon says, listen, Reuven, thank you for pointing out the Metzia. The bad news is, I never had you in mind. The moment I saw that Metzia, more importantly, the moment I picked up that Metzia, I picked it up on behalf of myself. I never had intention to acquire it on your behalf. So the Gemara says, "Hachanai mistabra." This would appear to be a good interpretation, a clear interpretation of the Mishnah. Diktani seifa, because if you look at the end of the Mishnah, what does the Mishnah say? Im mishnasnalo amarlo ani Amar anizach yisiba tchila. So we'll say, so what does the end of the Mishnah say? That if when Shimon gave it to Reuven, he said, I had acquired it already for myself from the beginning, lo amar klum. Then remember again, under that case, Shimon's statement is meaningless. Because we'll say, in that case over here, remember, Shimon's making a statement when? After he's already handed it over to Reuven. So at that point in time, that statement is meaningless. To which the Gemara says, Tchila b'seifa lamali. Why does the seifa have to add in that word tchila? In other words, we'll say if you look at the wording over here, Shimon, who's the guy on foot, says to Reuven after he handed over the object to Reuven. I just want to tell you, ani zachisi b'tchila. I acquired it for myself from the beginning. Why do you need that extra word tchila? To which the Gemara says, tchila b'seifa lamali pshita. Afagav delo amar tchila, tchila kamar. We'll say, even if Shimon were not to articulate the word tchila, it's obvious that that's his claim, right? His claim is, I know I just handed it over to you, but I had it in mind for me to acquire it from the beginning. Elav hakamash malon, reisha de amar tchila. Rather, we'll say, it must be that the reason why the seifa adds in the word tchila is to also highlight the fact that the first case in the Mishnah is also dealing with a case of tchila. So the first case in the Mishnah, we'll say, where Reuven's on the animal, says to Shimon, do me a favor, give me that mitziah. Shimon picks it up, and he says, it's mine, because I acquired it on behalf of myself, tchila. The idea being over here that Lamaisa, the reason why Shimon never ends up acquiring it on behalf of Reuven is why? Because in the moment that Shimon picked it up, he had it in mind for himself. Rabbi said the inference from that would be that Enoch Inami had Shimon had Reuven in mind, then what? Then Reuven could have acquired the item on behalf of Shimon's acquisition. So the Gemara says, V'idach, the other opinion, namely Rav Nachman would say, V'idach, Tana Seifa le Galuye Resha. The Seifa is coming to shed light on the Resha. Seifa de Amar Tchila, because it's only in the second case of the Mishnah where Shimon actually handed over the object to Reuven. And he says Tchila, then even though he says Tchila, because he handed it over, we no longer believe it's clean. Resha de lo Amar Tchila. But the first part of the Mishnah is where Tchila was not stated. Rav Nachman, Rav Chista, Dami Tarvav. So Rav Nachman and Rav Chista both say, Hamagbia metzil lachaver lo kana chaverom. So both say, so now again we have a counter opinion. Rav Nachman and Rav Chista both say that even if you pick up an object on behalf of your friend is not kone it. Your friend is not kone it. My time. So we'll say, why not? In other words, again, remember, you know, Mr. Stem was just saying before we started the shir, this would seem to be that this logically should work because of Zachin Ladum Shalom Befanov. Right? After all, again, we have the concept I could perform something objectively beneficial on behalf of someone, even without their knowledge or consent. It has to be objectively beneficial. But Salamaisa, again, if I find a $100 bill on the ground and I pick it up on behalf of Reuven, why wouldn't Reuven acquire it? Yet, Rav Nachman and Rav Chista say that if you pick up a metziah, a found object, on behalf of your friend, he does not acquire it. What is the reason for that? My taima, have tofes lebalchov b'makom shechav la'achirim. Because remember, we spoke about this on the first day of Yom Tov. So just to give you the illustration of this case, so remember again, let's say Reuven owes Shimon money. Reuven owes Shimon money. So what happens? I see that Reuven is selling off his assets or is going out of town. So I seize a piece of Reuven's property with the intention of giving it to Shimon. Meaning I'm friends with Shimon. Shimon's the creditor. I want to seize a piece of Reuven's property, the debtor, to give it to Shimon. Only one problem. Shimon's not Reuven's only creditor. Right? Reuven has a bunch of other creditors as well. So even though on a technical level, I should be able to seize a piece of Reuven's property to go ahead and pay it off, to give it to Shimon, because Zachin Ladum Shelo Befanov, here's the problem, the seizure on behalf of Shimon puts the other creditors at a disadvantage. And essentially, we only say that you could do something of objective benefit for someone without their knowledge when it does not put anyone else at a disadvantage. But when your actions put someone else at a disadvantage, you are not permitted to act of your own volition on behalf of one interested party.
I'm sorry?
No. So the Metziah is considered to be, according to Rav Nachman and Rav Chista, is considered to be a detriment, meaning if I acquire that on behalf of one person, that's considered to be a detriment to others. Why? Because technically speaking, everyone has equal rights in that metzia. So by, because it's hefker. So by me going in and acquiring it on behalf of one party, I'm technically depriving other parties of the right to acquire that object, and therefore it's a detriment to other potentially interested parties, and therefore you can't apply the concept of zochin. And when one sees his property due to a creditor in a place where the individual has other creditors as well, such an acquisition does not acquire. I will say again, I want to be clear, this is only talking about a case where the individual is acting of his own volition. If I go ahead and I appoint, I see a metzi and I appoint a shaliach, then my shaliach could act on my behalf. This is talking about where the shaliach, so to speak, is not, it's not really a shaliach, but the person is acting on his own volition on behalf of someone else. That works fine as long as you're not putting others at a disadvantage. But because at least according to Rav Nachman and Rav Chista, you are putting others at an advantage because you're taking away their ability to acquire the metzia, therefore you cannot acquire a metzia on behalf of someone else. It says the Gemara, Eisei Rav Rav Nachman, so Rav is Keshet Rav Nachman, Metzias Paul Yatzimo. So listen to this. If a worker, Paul is a laborer, so let's say I have a laborer, I have a worker, and he finds a metzia. He finds a metzia, he finds an object. The halacha is he gets to keep it himself. Now, this is actually very interesting. When is that true? Bizman Shamla Balabayas, Nochishimi Hayom, Ador Imi Hayom. So we'll say, that's true if what? If I hired a worker in a very specific way, I tell him, do me a favor, I want you to, weed my garden. Or I want you to go ahead and, plow my field. I hire him for a very specific task. So if I hire him for a specific task and he finds a metzia during that day, so the maisa, again, that metzia belongs to him, the worker. About Amar Lo, Asei Mi Malacha Hayom. But if I hire a worker and I say, listen, come work for me for the day. But what I will say, I don't define what the work is. Essentially what I'm saying is, I'm hiring you for the day, and I have the right to assign you whatever tasks I want. So we'll say, in a situation like that, I, so to speak, have not ownership, because you can never have ownership over another Jew, but I have rights over all of his labor that day, his ma'asei adayim that day, and therefore again, mitzi'aso shal balabayisu. But say, in that case, taloche is what? That if he finds a metzia, that metzia actually belongs to the balabas. Now, both sides, now this contradicts what Rav Nachman and Rav Chista just said before, because here you have a case of where what? When the poel picks up the metzia, who is going to acquire it? The balabas. But yet Rav Nachman and Rav Chista said, ha-magbia metzia lechavero, lo kana chavero. So what's going on over here? Amarle shiny poel, diyadu kiad balabas. No. The difference is that when I hire someone for the day to work for me, his hand is like my hand. In other words, he's considered to be an extension of me. But is that true that my poel, my worker, is an extension of me? Rabbi says a very important halacha, which is that a laborer could choose to walk off the job at any time. So if my laborer is an extension of me, then lemaise again, how could he walk off the job at any time? To which the Gemara says, "V'le b'chatzi ayom." I was supposed to. We actually quoted this last week. Now, again, I just want to be clear. In this case, he might be chayav certain damages to me, right? Meaning, if I hire someone to do a job, yes, he has the absolute legal right to walk off the job at any point in time. If he causes me damages, he may be chayav for that. But lemaise, he always has the right to walk off the job. So, how can you say that he's an extension of the balabas if he can walk off the job at any time? To which the Gemara says, no. Amarle, kol kama delo hadrebe kad balabayisu. You're right. What it means is, while he's in the employment of the balabas, he is like an extension of the balabas. That's why if you hire a worker and you tell him, listen, work for me for the day, and you don't specify what labor, you're just going to give him whatever you want him to do, then lemaisi is an extension of me, of the employer, and if he finds a metzia, it belongs to the employer. So the Gemara says, ki hadrebe, taimachrini hudichsiv. And the reality is, he's able to walk off the job for a whole other reason. Dichsiv, because the pasuk says, ki li b'nei Yisrael avadim, avadayhem. So we'll say, because the pasuk says, Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Klal Yisrael, because Bnei Yisrael are my avadim. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, they're my avadim, v'lo avadim la'avadim. So we'll say, Klal Yisrael, we are avadim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but we are never avadim to another person. the idea that if a laborer was unable to walk off a job, that would be a form of servitude. So therefore, again, the halacha is he always has the right to walk away. But until he has not walked away, in other words, until while he's in the employ of the employer, then I might say again, his hand is like the Bala Bas's hand. That's why if he finds a mitzvah, he's able to acquire it. Amr Rabbi Chiyah Rav, Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Hamakbiya mitzvah lachavera kana chavera. So we'll say, so now Rabbi Chiyah Rav is sending Rabbi Yochanan, that they argue on Rav Nachman and Rav Chista, that if you go ahead and you find, you lift up a mitzvah for your friend acquires it. I ve'in tomar mishnah senu. But I will say, what do you do about our mishnah? Because our mishnah contradicts that idea. Because remember what happened in our mishnah? Reuven's on the animal, Shimon's on foot. Reuven says to Shimon, can you give me that mitzvah? Can you give me that mitzvah? Pick it up for me. And Shimon picks it up, and then he says, what?
Thank you
very much. I acquired on behalf of myself that it works. But if you hold that Amagbiya Metzila Chavero Kana Chavero, then the moment Shimon picks it up, Reuven should acquire it. To which the Gemara says, no, our Mishnah is not Akasha. Damar Tneili Velo Amar Zochali. Oh, well, so here's the distinction. If you look in the wording of the Mishnah, the wording of the Mishnah was where Reuven on the animal says to Shimon on foot, can you please go ahead and give me that object? Bosai, the Mashmosa, give me that object is, I'm not asking for you to acquire, I'm not asking, Reuven, I'm not asking Shimon to acquire it on my behalf, I'm asking to hand it to me, and I will acquire it myself. In a case like that, where the Maisa Kinyan is going to be done by Reuven, then Enochinami Shimon has the ability, if he wants, to acquire it on his behalf. And Bosai, this is the halacha. Listen to this. The Shulchan Aruch writes, this is in Choshen Mishpat, Simen Resh Samech Tes Sif Vav. Hayrochi Vagabi Behema, Viras Hamatziah. We'll say, Reuven's riding on an animal, or I'm riding on an animal, and I see an object on the ground. I say to my friend who's walking by me, Zocha Li Ba, acquire it for me. Kevan Sheik Bialo Kana Harochi, Afal Pishla Gil Yado. Bose the halacha is we paskin hamagbia lachavero kana chavero. So if I ask Reuven to acquire it, the wording in the Shulchan Aruch is very important. Zocha li ba, acquire it for me. The moment that Reuven picks it up and picks it up, he acquires it on my behalf and it is mine, even though it has not yet come into my possession. However, ve'im amarli tenayli. But if I said to Reuven, can you please hand me that object? V'natla Shimon, thank you. Well, I'm on the animal. Right? So I say to Reuven, go ahead, hand it to me. And what happens? V'natla v'amr anizach yisiba. And then what happens? Reuven is picking it up on my behalf, says, I acquired it for myself. Zacha baha notel. Ultimately, again, Reuven, the guy who picked it up, has the ability to go ahead and acquire it on his behalf. But if he handed it off to me, and then he said, oh, I acquired it on behalf, I'm on my behalf, such a statement ultimately is meaningless. So we'll say that indeed is halacha l'maisa. Says the Mishnah, another interesting case, we'll say, I see an object on the ground, and what happens? I fall on top of it. I throw myself on top of it, right? So obviously I'm doing this as a way of acquiring the object. So I literally throw myself on top of it. And then what happens? As I'm laying on top of the object, Reuven comes along, pulls it out from under me, and does hagba. So what's the halacha? So what's the guy who picks it up and acquires it is the owner of the object. In other words, what the Mishnah is just simply saying is, laying on top of something is not a valid form of kinyan. So therefore, the mice, again, even though you're laying on top of it, you do not acquire it. Says the Gemara, Amar Reish Lakish Rishum Abba Kohen Bardolo. Reish Lakish said the name of Abba Kohen Bardolo. Arba Amo Shal Adam Konos Lo B'chol Mokom. We'll say an important halacha. A person's Dalet Amos acquire on his behalf. Right? Each of us are given Dalet Amos. And those Dalet Amos, essentially, we'll say, those Dalet Amos work as my chatzar. So they acquire on my behalf. My time, what's the reason? My time at Takin Rabbanon. Why did the rabbis institute that every single person has their own Dalet Amos? To lo asil in suye. So that people shouldn't quarrel. The idea of Osei is that since it's known that I have my own Dalet Amos, people kind of give each other personal space, recognizing that whatever is in my Dalet Amos, I'm able to acquire. Amr Abaye, Moshe Rabbi Yosef Peah. So Abaye said, well, Rabbi Bar Yosef brought a question about this principle from Peah. Amr Rava, Moshe Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi Nezikin. Rava said that Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi brought a question on this from Nezikin. What are the questions? Amr Abaye, Moshe Rabbi Bar Yosef Peah. So Abaye said, Rabbi Bar Yosef brought a question on this from Peah. What's the case of Peah? Natal Miktas Peah, Vizarak Alash Rabbos. Listen to this case. I'm picking Peah. Remember, Peah refers to the corner of the field that is left for the poor. So I took some peah, I cut down some peah, and I took the cut peah, and I threw it on the standing peah. So what I did is, I want to reserve some peah for myself. So I cut down some peah, I take, let's say, the cut grain, and I throw it on top of the standing grain. So essentially what I'm doing is, I'm covering the standing grain with the cut grain as a way of demonstrating my ownership. This is reserved. This is for me. So what's the halacha? Ein lo ba klum. We'll say, so that doesn't acquire anything. Meaning throwing cut grain that you acquired over standing grain that you did not acquire as a way of acquiring the standing grain does not work. However, not enough lo alel. But we'll say, if let's say I lay down on top of the standing grain, or paras taliso alav, or I spread my talis, my cloak over the grain, then what's the halacha? Mavirin osahemena. So we'll say the halacha is we take the pay away from the individual. In other words, same thing, that you can't acquire payah by laying down on top of it. You can't acquire payah by putting your cloak on top of it. V'chein ba'omer shechacha. We'll say the same thing would apply to a sheaf or to a stalk of shechacha, right? So shechacha refers to grain that's forgotten or left behind in the field. Same halacha would apply. In other words, it's not just a din by standing grain, it's a din by cut grain as well. So we'll say the idea being, this seems to echo what we just said in the Mishnah, namely, in order to acquire something, you have to lift it up. But the act of laying down on top of something, or even spreading your cloak on top of something, doesn't acquire. Look what the Gemara's kasha is. The amrit arba amos shal adam konos l'becha makom, niknu le arba amos didei. But I don't understand, if you tell me that my dalet amos acquire, then what? Let's say again, let's take the case of the shechacha. It's the easiest case. I go ahead and the owner of the field leaves behind a sheaf of wheat. So it's on the ground. I want to acquire it. So the Mishnah told, so the Brisa just told me, if I lay down on top of it, or if I spread my cloak on top of it, it doesn't work. I have a simpler idea. Let me just stand next to it. And once I stand next to it, what? Dalet amos kona. My dalet amos acquire it. So why? So yet again, the Brisa does not say that, which would seem to indicate that my dalet amos are not kona. Hacham asking on what's the case? Delo amar akni, where a person did not say, let my dalet amos acquire. In other words, the Gemara's havamina is that in order for dalet amos to acquire, what has to happen? They almost like you have to be activated. You have to activate your dalet amos. How do you activate your dalet amos? Hinni mukhar muzun time, my dalet amos acquire my behalf. But if I didn't say that, then they're not activated. So what are you talking about? V'i takin rabbanon, kilo omer my havi. I don't understand. If the rabbis instituted that something should work, then why would you have to activate it? Meaning it's activated me'ilav, it's activated by itself, even if I don't say anything. Kevan, to which the Gemara says, you're right. Kevan, the nafal gali daitit ibn afila nechale, the nikni ba'arba amos lo nechale the nikni. So also listen to this, to which the Gemara says, but since a person is falling on top of the grain, the act of falling on top of the grain is tantamount to saying what? I don't want my dalet amos to acquire the item because I'm actively trying to acquire the item through a different mechanism, i.e. through nefila. So what the Gemara is suggesting is like this. Inochinam, you're right. Dalet amos will work by themselves without any formal, we'll call it, verbal activation. But if it's clear from your actions that you are relying on another form of kinyan to acquire, then it's as if you're saying what? I don't want my dalet amos to acquire my behalf because I'm using a different mechanism. Since the mechanism you're using in this case is a flawed one, i.e. laying down on top of the object, therefore you do not acquire the wheat, the peah. Abba Beis, Rapapa says, Ki takinu le'rabanan arba amos ba'almo. Rapapa says, no, there's a different issue. Yes, it's true, the rabbis went ahead and instituted dalet amos. And the rabbis also said, that you need not activate your dalet amos with in some type of verbal declaration. Rather, again, verbal dalet amos are activated on their own. When did the Rabbanan activate dalet amos? That's ba'alma. We'll say in general. In general, we'll see what that means. Besada de balabayis lo takinu le Rabbanan. We'll say you don't have dalet amos in someone else's field. As we'll discuss, you have dalet amos in generally owned property, right? Publicly owned property. Someone else's. When I go in to pick payah, right? Where is that payah? That payah is in someone's privately held property. You don't have dalet amos in somebody's privately held property. And even though the rabbis did give me some right in the private property, that's a right. So we'll say, what rights do I have in someone else's property? I have a right that I'm not trespassing. I have a right to traverse the field to get to the payah. That's my right. I have a right to get into the field. I have a right to get out of the field. I have a right to pick the payah. But the Rabbanon never instituted Dalet Amis in someone's field. That's why, again, your Dalet Amis can't work to go ahead and acquire payah on your behalf, because there is no Dalet Amis in privately held property.
Why not? Because you could have Hagbah in someone else's property, so you're making a Kenyan. So this is a form of conditional Kenyan.
Oh, because the difference is that Hagbah is bringing it onto yourself. Well, actually, see, the Gemara is going to talk about that. There's a chiluk between Dalet Amis, even though they both sound like your own person, but we're going to see a chiluk between Hagbah and Dalet Amis. Good. Baruch Shekivanto. Amar Rava, Moser of Yaakov Bar Idi. So we'll say, that was the first kasha. Amar Rava, there are a couple of important takeaways here. Takeaway number one is that Lemaisa, again, Dalet Amis works even if it's not blessed, even if it's not verbally activated. That's number one. Number two, you don't have Dalet Amis in privately held property. That's number two. What else do we see? Amar Rava, Moser Rav Yaakov Bar Idi Nezikin. So Rava said, Rav Yaakov Bar Idi brought the kasha from Nezikin. Oh, it's the case of Nezikin. Ruas Hametzia v'nafalo aleha. So we'll say the case over here was, I see a Metzia, as you guys are Mishnah. I see a Metzia, and I fall on top of it, right? Literally, I lay down on top of the metzia, and obviously my intention of laying down on it is what? Is to go ahead and acquire it. Uba achar v'hech sikba, someone then comes along avosai, and what? Pulls the adrita from under me and acquires it. So, meaning, does a chazaka, meaning, does hagba. Zeh shehech sikba zachaba. The one who lifted it up, ultimately, again, acquires the object. V'i amrit arba amos sha'adam konos l'vichol makom. Niknule arba amos didei. But I don't understand. If at the end of the day, Dalet Amos acquire, so even if you want a taina, that's what? Let's say laying down on something does not affect Kenyan. But if I'm laying down on something, then what is absolutely clear? The object is where? The object is in my Dalet Amos. So why don't my Dalet Amos acquire? So the Gemara is going to go through the same process as before. The case is where the guy never said, let my Dalet Amos acquire my behalf. I have asked the Gemara, V'takun Rabbanon, Kilo Amr my Havi. I don't understand. If the rabbis instituted something, namely a Dalet Amos should work, who cares if you say something or not? L'maisa, again, once there is a rabbinic, once there is this rabbinic entitlement, we'll call it a Dalet Amos, that should be activated by itself. To which the Gemara says, no, Kevan denafal alei, Galei daiti debinafila nechalei, denikni, ba'arba amos lo nechalei denikni. We'll say the problem over here in this case is, when I lay down on the object, it's almost as if I'm making a declarative statement that I want this act of nefila to acquire the object, and I do not want my Dalet Amos to acquire it on my behalf. Rav Sheshe says there's a different issue. Kitakinu rabbanon besimta delo dochki rabim. Birshas rabim deka dochki rabim lo takin rabbanon. This is actually very interesting. Rav Sheshe says, when do you have Dalet Amos? So remember again, we just said before, you don't have Dalet Amos ultimately in privately held property. You know where else you don't have Dalet Amos? In Rosh Sarabim. We'll say, because think about this in just a moment. Dalet Amos can't really work in Rosh Sarabim. Why? Because there's too many people there. So where did the Rabbanan institute Dalet Amos? What we call the Simta. So what's a Simta? Is kind of like the shoulder, you know, like the, not an alleyway, but a recessed area off Rosh Hasharabim where there is less pedestrian traffic. So on one hand, it is Rosh Hasharabim. On the other hand, it's not congested like Rosh Hasharabim. So therefore, the Gemara is suggesting over here that the case of Metzia, Nafa ala Metzia, where I fall on top of the Metzia, that case is in Rosh Hasharabim. In a case like that, Rabosai, again, I'm at a disadvantage on two levels. Number one, the act of laying down on top of something does not acquire it on my behalf. And number two, there are no Dalet Amis in Rosh Hasharabim proper because there's too much pedestrian traffic. So therefore, that's why I don't acquire the item at all. But one second. We just learned before that the Braisa said that what? That the rabbis instituted that a person has Dalet Amos b'chol makom. The Rebbe says, so granted, every place. Now granted, every place, we assume that to mean what? Every publicly owned place. Every place. Every Rosh Hasharabim. To which the Gemara says, no. Komakom la'asui yitzidi Rishis HaRabim. So we'll say, Komakom comes to include even the sides of Rishis HaRabim. But again, it goes without saying that in Rishis HaRabim itself, which is a congested area, you both say, there's a very simple level. You can't really say that people acquire things within their own Dalai Lamas. Why? Because in Rishis HaRabim, which is a congested area, people often don't have their own Dalai Lamas of space. The concept that my Dalai Lamas could acquire something of me is all presupposes that I have some shlita over that Dalai Lamas of space. But in congested areas where there's no shlita, I have no control over my Dalai Lamas, they can't acquire. So now that we're talking a little bit about Kinyanim, so Reish Lakish said in the name of Abba Kohen Bardala, Kitana in Lachatzer, a Kitana Rabosai, a girl who is a minor, does not have a Chatzer. In other words, does not have, we assume that means does not have Kinyan Chatzer, Ve'in La Arba Amos, nor does she have the ability to acquire something in her Dalet Amos. Rabbi Yochanan Mishrab Yanai Amr, Yesh Lachatzer, Ve'esh La Arba Amos. On the other hand, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yanai, Rabbi Yochanan is the name of Rabbi Yanai, she has Chatzer, and she has Dalet Amos. But my commitment is, we'll say, so what are they arguing about? So one opinion says, a Ketana has no Chatzar, has no Dalai Lamas. Second opinion says, she has Chatzar, she has Dalai Lamas. What are they arguing about? Mar Savar Chatzar Mishum Yado Esraboi. So we'll say, so the second opinion says, that Chatzar, the ability of a Chatzar to acquire, is an extension of one's yad. Chatzar is an extension of my hand. So ki echi di isle yad. So we'll remember, a Ketana has a yad. Remember we learned in Gittin, Rashi points this out. Rashi says the halacha is you can give a get to a, say a man's married to a ketana, you can give a get to a ketana as long as what? As long as she has the ability to guard that get in her hand. He has the ability, as long as she has the ability. So therefore again, if you hold that chatzar is an extension of yad, the same way she has yad, so she'll have chatzar as well. Keicha de isla yad, chatzar nami isla. Umar sabar chatzar mishum shlichos israboy. The other opinion says that shlichus ultimately again, that chatzar is really a function of shlichus. V'chi hechi, the shlichus lesla, and it was in the same way that she doesn't have shlichus, then what? Chatzar nami lesla. She doesn't have chatzar either. To which the Gemara says, one second, mi ika, man da amar chatzar mishum shlichus is rabbi? The Gemara says, is there anyone who holds that chatzar is an extension or chatzar is a function of shlichus? Everyone holds that chatzar is an extension of yad. V'hatanya, biado, the pasuk says, biado, in his hand, in other words, this is talking about by geneva, by the theft, by kefil, that you only you have to pay kefil if what? If you find the theft, biado, inli ela biado, I only know in his hand. Gago, chatzero, karfifo minayin. How do I know that if it's in his property, he's chayiv for that as well? Tamalomar, himatzei timatzei b'chom makom. Therefore, the pasuk says, the double lashon of Osei says, wherever you find it. Now, what do you see from here? You see from here that chatzer is learned out from yodo. So you see, therefore, that chatzer is an extension of one's hand. So if chatzer is an extension of one's hand, then the ketana should have the ability to acquire through chatzer as well. To which the Gemara says, "V'isar daitcha chatzer mishum shlichus es rabbi im kematzino shliach l'dvar avera." Oh, something very interesting over here. Well, saying if you hold that shlichus is an extension, that chatzer is a function of shlichus, then it turns out that what? That you have a case of yesh shliach l'dvar avera. Now remember, under normal circumstances, we say, Ein shliach l'dvar avera. There's no such thing as a shliach for the commission of a sin. The person who commits the avera is himself personally responsible. But if you hold that a chatzar is a form of shlichus, that means when my chatzar acquires a stolen object, then there's a concept of yesh shliach l'dvar avera. V'kaimalan, and I will say we learned, Ein shliach l'dvar avera, that there is no such thing as a shliach l'dvar avera. There is no agency for the commission of a sin. To which the Gemara says, Amar Avina, Hecha Amrina, Dein Shliach L'Dvar Avera. When do we say there's no agency for Avera? Hecha the Shliach Bar Chiyuvahu. We'll say that's only when the agent himself is a Bar Chiyuvah. Well, look at Rashi. Bar Chiyuvahu, Sha'af Hu Musar Aladavar, Hasam Pater HaSholeach. Damrina Amay, Divrei Harad, v'divrei HaTalmid, divrei Mishome. So we'll say, when do we say in Shliach l'dvar Aveira? That's when the Shaliach possesses Das. Because then we say to the Shaliach, so you know, what are you doing carrying out this agency? You know it's an Aveira. Ah, you are following orders. That's very nice. But Lameis, at the end of the day, when you know what's right, you know what's wrong. The fact that somebody told you to do something, that's not an excuse. You should know better. Aval b'chotzer delav archiyuvahu mechayiv sholcho. Rabbi say a chotzer, obviously, which doesn't have das. So when the chotzer, so to speak, does something or acquires something on behalf of the owner, it will be the sholech, it will be the owner of the chotzer who will be chayiv for that. Ela me'ata ha'omer le'isha sa'av, excuse me, ha'omer le'isha ve'evet su'u ganvuli. So we'll say, if that's the case, are you going to tell me then if I tell a woman or a slave to go ahead and steal something for me, since they are not financially responsible, so too, again, I, the Mishalech, will be chayiv, to which the Gemara says, first of all, what does that mean, they're not responsible? Omrit, Isha ve'eved b'nei chiyuvaninu. It's not true. If a woman or a slave steals something, they are chayiv. There's a technical issue. Va'ashta miha les lohu l'shalume. The difficulty we'll say is what? Is that l'maisa, again, often they do not have the possessions with which to be able to pay back. This nine, that's why we learned, Neskar Sha Isha Nishtakra Eved, Chayavin Lashalim. That's why Gina will say, in the event that a woman is divorced, in which case now she has a property settlement, or an Eved is freed, in which case he has Hanok, he's also given money, they are Chayav to repay anything they stole. So we'll say, so according to Ravina, the only time we say Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira is when the Shaliach has Das. The Shliach has Das, then again, he's responsible for his own actions, and even though he could say, I was following orders, Lamaisa, at the end of the day, he's responsible for his actions. So let's just read one more line, and we'll stop. Rav Sama Amar, Heicha Aminan Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira. So Rav Sama says, when do we say Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira? That's Heicha D'i Boi Ovid, V'i Boi Lo Ovid. When do we say Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira? That's when the Shliach has a choice. When the Shliach has a choice about what to do, then, if he chooses to commit the Aveira, it's considered as if he's acting on his own volition. Aval Chotzer, the Bal Korche Mosiv Bey, Rabbi Osai, a Chotzer, obviously, which has no choice, and just acquires, so to speak, against its will, so to speak, then Mechayiv Sholcho. Ultimately, again, the owner of the field will be responsible for the acquisition of any illegal items through his chasr. So we'll stop over here for today. We're going to pick up with this machlokis tomorrow. But again, we end off with a fascinating machlokis, Ravina and Rav Sama, both agreeing, Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira, disagreeing on the mechanics of it. Ravina says because we only apply Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira in a case of Das, and ultimate, or I should say, Bar Chiyuv, where the person himself is responsible not to commit the Aveira. And Rav Sama says only in a case where there's choice. Now it sounds like they're saying the same thing, but I'm sure we'll pick up tomorrow morning with the nafkamina between these two shittos.
Shkoya. Can't say you're following orders.
That's Lamaisa. Very true.